Coming to you from the 1836 studios, this is Texas Scorecard Radio. I'm your host, Tony McDonald. This week on the program, we talk to Tracy Marshall with TransparencyTexas.org. Tracy will tell us about how Texans can learn about the flow of money in Texas politics. We'll also have a commentary from Michael Quinn Sullivan on why we should all be for getting rid of the table. And we're not talking about selling grandma's old table on Craigslist. But before that, we'll jump around the state and talk to the Texas Scorecard local bureaus about news and events across the Lone Star State. Welcome to this week's Texas Scorecard Radio. Before we talk to Tracy Marshall with TransparencyTexas.org, we're going to go around the state and talk to the Texas Scorecard local bureaus. These are the folks with Texas Scorecard who are reporting on, writing about the things that are going on in local government that are impacting citizens at the local level across the state. We'll get started with Charles Blaine down in the Bayou City. Charles, tell us a little bit about what you've been reporting on.
Yeah, Tony. So what we've been focusing on down here is just what's going on in City Hall. You know, City Hall is across the state and across the country spend millions of dollars on a weekly basis. And when we show up there to, you know, find out what's going on, you only see a handful of taxpayers there. So people really are disconnected from what's going on at their city halls.
Yeah, you know, it's an unfortunate thing, I think, in Texas and across the nation that citizens stay so focused on all the craziness that goes on in the federal government in Washington, D.C. And it always feels like, you know, it's just very hard for one person to have an impact on the things that go on there. But I think, you know, you and I have seen a different result at the local level. Are you seeing citizens actually see some successes?
Yeah, we are. What's great is that, you know, because so few people show up, that when they do show up and speak out, it people take notice. You know, one thing we saw here was back, we were doing some work with, you know, on the city and how they were spending on take-home vehicles for public employees. And just a few citizens speaking up and asking questions and emailing their council members, you know, caused that to then be opened into an audit. And from there, now they're investigating and looking to find extra funds within that program. So it really does only take one person to get that ball rolling, which is the great part about it. You know, there's a downside that so few people come, but, you know, when they do speak up, it makes an impact.
What are some of the crazier expenses and expenditures you've seen there in Houston?
Yeah, one that comes to mind is the fact that taxpayers were continuing to pay the salary, the $250,000 salary for one of the directors who was suspended after making unlawful payments. So, yeah, that's one of them.
Oh, that's crazy. I know y'all had to face some accounting gimmicks from the city that kind of hide things from the voters. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's been an ongoing problem. And one of the more recent examples is that, you know, Houston's voters are voting on a $1 billion pension obligation bond this November. But when council put it on the ballot, they added on an extra $10 million that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Oh, wow. Yeah, a whole $10 million on top. Well, thank you so much for that report, Charles. We'll switch gears and move up I-45 and go talk to Aaron Anderson with the Metroplex Bureau for Texas Scorecard. Aaron's got a report about taxation without representation in Collin County. Tell us about that, Aaron.
Well, actually, Tony, it's more an issue of regulation without representation.
What is regulation without representation? What does that mean?
Well, up here in Collin County, the city of McKinney is trying to regulate private property owners whose property is outside the city limits.
And so these are folks who don't actually get to vote in city elections, yet they're subject to city regulation?
Exactly right. They're trying to build on property they own in the county, which is part of the extraterritorial jurisdiction of the city, and the city is trying to make them get city building permits before they can build.
So is there any specific examples that have gone on that are, you know, anything that's particularly egregious?
Absolutely. There's been several cases that have gone to court on this issue. But one in particular was a couple building a retirement home outside the city limits in the county, and yet the city came in and shut down their building and said that they could not continue building until they got city permits instead of the county permits that they already had.
So they kind of had all their ducks in a row from a county standpoint, thinking, okay, they're ready to go, and then all of a sudden the city steps in. What's been the result of that case?
Well, after waiting over a year, the city council finally made a minor change to its city code that allowed this particular couple to continue building on their property but it hasn't resolved the larger issue or the other cases that are still ongoing in the court.
Yeah. So what's the need there? I guess, do we need to take a case all the way up, get in a court of appeals decision or Supreme Court decision to kind of deal with this issue?
Well, what the Collin County Commissioner's Court believes that we're going to need to get a Texas Supreme Court ruling on this to end this back and forth between the county lawfully issuing permits and the city trying to horn in and regulate without representation.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for that report, and we'll have to keep an eye on that issue as it continues. We'll switch gears and we'll go out with the sun to the west to talk to Lauren Malier with the West Texas Bureau of Texas Scorecard. Lauren, you've got a report on Robinhood and the issue that it has on everyone's property taxes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, of course. So Robinhood has actually been a topic of debate statewide and locally for quite a number of years now. People have probably heard quite a bit more of it more recently in the legislative session that took place this year. That Robinhood is actually the nickname for Chapter 41 of the Texas Education Code. And what it is it's a statewide wealth distribution program, and it requires property-rich school districts to send portions of their tax revenue to the state, and then the state in turn redistributes that tax revenue to property-poor districts, hence its name.
Yeah, and so the idea, I guess, behind this, it was done back in the 90s, was to equalize the funding so all the schools would kind of have equal funding. But it really hadn't worked out that way, has it?
Right, exactly. What's actually happened is it's become essentially a statewide property tax, which is unconstitutional.
Yeah, and so what are some of the difficulties that the program has caused for schools?
Well, it's actually caused property taxes to increase, and it's also made it very difficult for schools to plan their budgets for the next year.
And that's an issue particularly out in West Texas. What's the angle there?
Yes, it's actually a huge issue. So with West Texas being such a stronghold for oil and gas and that being such a large part of our economy, it makes it difficult to plan for the next year. And that's because the state uses the prior year's property tax revenues to determine how much that school district owes the next year. So when you have an oil and gas industry have these ups and downs and these booms and busts, you can have one year where that school district is seeing a huge uptick in tax revenue and then almost immediately see it plummet. And so they could have a year where there's an oil bust, but their IOU to the state is huge because the state is using the prior year's revenues.
Wow. It's almost an insult to injury, a down year for local, and then they have to send more to the state. It's really bad. Well, thank you for that report, Lauren. We'll have to keep an eye on this issue as it continues to percolate in Austin and across the state. Just a reminder for listeners, you can read reports about things that are going on at the state and local level from writers like Lauren and like Charles and like Aaron. Those are coming on a day-to-day basis at TexasScorecard.com.
Texas Scorecard Radio is a project of Empower Texans. At TexasScorecard.com or EmpowerTexans.com, you can find more news and daily updates from all around the Lone Star State. You can also find updates from Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard on Facebook and Twitter, and follow Empower Texans on Instagram. Texas Scorecard's news digest goes out weekly via email and monthly in print. Subscribe online and find more information at EmpowerTexans.com. Someone's always keeping score. We think it ought to be the taxpayers.
Well, it's a pleasure today to have Tracy Marshall on Texas Scorecard Radio. Tracy's calling into us, joining us from Midland. Tracy leads up one of my favorite new projects here in Texas, Transparency Texas. Tracy, it's good to have you on the line here in the studio.
Thanks, Tony. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, thanks, Tracy. Tell the listeners a little bit about what Transparency Texas is, and obviously give us a little plug of the website. I'll probably have you plug the website a couple times, but what's the website and what is this project that you're heading up?
Sure, Tony, I'd love to tell you. So the website is transparencytexas.org, transparencytexas.org, and we're all about the money in Texas politics. So everyone knows that money is a critical factor, maybe even the most influential factor in politics, but it's also too often the most confusing part. So what we've set out to do at Transparency Texas is make it really easy for average citizens to come and to search and to see exactly where the money in Texas politics is coming from, which politicians are getting it, and then most importantly, probably, what exactly they're doing with it, definitely most interesting part. And then you can see, so average citizens, not just politicos, not just Austin insiders, can really see and understand who's on their side.
And so this is a new project. I've gotten to be familiar with it over the past few months, but transparencytexas.org. And I'm kind of looking at the website here in the studio. You go on and it actually lays out all of the money that goes on in Texas politics. So looking up politicians, looking up PACs, looking up all these players. What really led you to get into this project? Why did you choose this project? What drove you to actually launch Transparency Texas?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about exactly that, what's kind of behind this. So politicians in every state are required by law to divulge their donors and then also what they do with the campaign dollars once they get them. And in each state, they turn in all this information, these reports, to an ethics commission. Well, the trouble is our Texas Ethics Commission was not transparent or useful at all. It was a kind of typical, very difficult to navigate government website. It was kind of akin to trying to file your taxes or going to the post office all at the same time. I mean, just kind of it was sort of a dumpster fire. In fact, a study done, a nonpartisan study by a group called the Campaign Finance Institute out of Washington, studied the ethics commissions in all 50 states and found out that Texas ranked 50th out of 50, yep, you heard me right,
wow,
dead last on several measures related to transparency. So just with the frustration from all that, you know, several of us got together and said, that's not how we do things in Texas. We're not okay with being dead last. So we set out to do what the Texas Ethics Commission is supposed to do and make all that information easily accessible to citizens. So it's a tool for citizens. It's not just this tool for manipulation for Austin insiders.
Yeah, you know, I've used the Ethics Commission website before, and you can go on there and see the actual documents, the reports that are filed, but it's just this morass of paperwork where it's very confusing, and you can see the individual contributions. You can see the individual expenditures that come in and go out. What's really cool at Transparency Texas, when I go on there, you know, I click on a politician. I was looking at Doug Miller, the former state mm-hmm. rep earlier, and you click on
right.
him and you can click and say, okay, all of his money comes from this certain PAC. And when you look at the PAC, the number one contributor is, and I don't remember the guy's name, but one guy with $30,000. And you go, okay, maybe I need to figure out who this guy is. You know, if
sure.
I lived in Fredericksburg or New Braunfels, I might want to know who Mr. Big is that's funding mm-hmm. my local rep. So I guess that's a little bit of a segue, a question. Why does this matter? I mean, should Texans really care? I mean, we're talking about campaign finance data on a state website. It's certainly the kind of thing that could be nap-inducing. But why
right.
why should a Texan care? Why should they go to your website? Why is this important?
Well, Tony, here's what I see. We all get these glossy mailers, especially during election season. Our mailboxes are full of these glossy mailers that say, send me $100, even $50. Please send me $25, and I'm going to, you know how they brag, I'll single-handedly save the state of Texas from whatever boogeyman, you know, they think you're afraid of.
And everybody's a superhero on the mailers,
right.
of course.
Of course. So I think it's great that you can now go on and you can put in that candidate's name and you can see how much cash they have on hand. You can see where their big dollars are coming from, like who gets it. And then you can see what they've done. If they're an elected official, you can see what they've done with it in the past. I mean, you can see on our website certain politicians that have spent inordinate amounts of money on luxury resorts, travel, gifts, Kendra Scott jewelry.
Kendra Scott jewelry?
Clothing, all kinds of things. And so if you see that, you know, I'm getting this mailer from this politician candidate who says, just please, please send me $25. And you go on our website and you say, well, wow, in just the last cycle alone, they gave away $7,000 in Kendra Scott jewelry. I mean, maybe you think they're not the best steward of your money. Or you could see all their money is coming, say, from the realtors' PACs. And but yet this politician claims to be super conservative. Well, we tell you, we break down how you can understand, quick and easy guide to understand how who the PACs are and which PACs are more liberal and which PACs are more conservative.
Yeah,
so if you see your reps getting a lot of money from a certain PAC, you can know, my rep's probably maybe not as conservative as he claims to be.
Yeah, that's one of the articles I was recently looking at on the website was about specifically the realtors PAC. You know, most folks don't know, particularly realtors, real estate agents.
Right.
A lot of really conservative Texans are real estate agents. They're interested in free markets. They're interested in the prosperity of the state. And they have no idea what their representatives, their PAC, their kind of organization does politically in Austin. And, you know, you're like you're saying that the article kind of breaks down. Here's how they're spending their money. Here's where they're giving their money, kind of against the things that you would assume they would be for, and for very liberal politicians. And that's the kind of thing that I think is really interesting when you dive into this data. So it's really cool stuff. One of the favorite things I've seen on there, and something that I thought was a little bit mind blowing, kind of a little ticker that's on the top of the website, where you talk about total contributions and expenditures, I guess since 2015. So y'all have been tracking the 2015 and later data.
Right.
Can you lay out those numbers for us? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So the total contributions in the last election cycle, we're tracking it since the beginning of January 2015. Contributions money that came into Texas political coffers was $363 million and some change.
Wow.
And the money spent by those politicians was upward of $400 million just in that last cycle. And it's interesting to see those numbers. Those are really big numbers. But I like to kind of put it in perspective for people, because during the same amount of time that is represented by that $363 million and $400 million number, the Texas legislature, their budget during the same time was $246 billion. That's with a B. So if you think about it that way, if you think that this money represents people trying to exercise their First Amendment rights to free speech, to say, hey, I want some influence in how all those tax dollars are being spent, it's really less than 0.25% of the money that the legislature is spending at the same time. So it's really dwarfed by that. And people always get, you know, kind of up in arms about the money in politics. But if you think about this is the amount of money we're spending to determine or to say who gets to decide what happens with my tax dollars, then I think that's good context to know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, again, like, so I'm looking at the website here, $363 million in total contributions. So that's every politician in Texas and every contributor and every dollar that's come in over the last couple of years adds up to $363 million. And then, of course, there's money sitting around in the account.
Yeah.
So they've spent $400 million over that time span. But I agree with you. I think we kind of have this attitude where we look at contributions and we say, oh, that's something dirty.
Right.
It's inherently this dirty thing. It's kind of like bribery. This person's giving money and they're bribing these politicians. And I think whenever you look at the amount of money spent and the amount of money that's handed out, you know, $200+ billion in the state budget, you go, okay, no, maybe it isn't bribery. You know, it isn't that sort of thing.
but it is important. You know, it does tell a story that can really help a voter to understand what's going on.
It can. And you don't want to look at those numbers and taint all that money as bribery. I'm sure there's people, there are entities that give money and they are hoping that they get a certain outcome for their dollar. I hope that people don't come to our site and get that kind of jaded view. I hope that they get this and say, wow, this is people trying to participate in the system, trying to have a voice in where their tax dollars are spent. And this does allow them to see, though, okay, this, I like how this person votes and I want to give them a contribution. And then when I look at what they've done with the money that they've had already, it all looks legitimate. It looks like reasonable campaign. They look like an honest person. And they can see, they can tell, though, maybe when someone is doing something, getting a contribution for a vote that's out of character, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so interesting to me. People sometimes focus on, I do work with the Empower Texans PAC, and people will talk about Empower Texans on the one hand and say, oh, this is a big fish in this pond. Or you talk about any other donor and you say, this is a big fish. But I think what's interesting, you look at the website and you look at the specific PACs or the specific donors, they're only a little tiny fractions of this overall huge number, right. You know, which kind of to me suggests this is a systematic, and I wouldn't say problem, it's just a system in which people are speaking and giving and engaging in politics in both good and bad ways. And I guess that kind of takes us back to the deal that it's so important that voters and Texans and taxpayers know what actually is going on with that money, because it's something organic. It isn't something that's just this totally simple, oh, there's this one bad guy out there, or there's this one good guy out there,
right.
That sort of thing.
Just to put that in context for you, Tony, since you brought up Empower Texans, they spent $2.6 million in the last, or since 2015, but the realtors spent $44 million in the last cycle. Texans for Lawsuit Reform spent almost $5 million in the last cycle. So it's great to be able to go on there and get some context. And I know another thing people like to do is they like to pick out individuals, like this certain person trying to buy the state of Texas, or this certain person's trying to control what's going on in Austin. But the individual donors, for example, in the last cycle, the top eight individual donors gave somewhere around $25 million, but the top eight PACs gave upwards of $60
million. Wow.
So it really is important to understand who these PACs are and what their political agenda is.
So the PACs are driving the picture. Well, let's close it up a little bit. I really appreciate it. You know, to me, I guess I look at this website, I don't see an agenda. Is there anything that y'all are for? It just seems like, I guess it's a pure public service. is the only thing I'm seeing from your website. Am I missing anything?
Well, that's really what we want to do, Tony. We want to make it accessible to average citizens. We don't want this crucial element of our political system, the money in politics, to only be understandable to political insiders. So we not only have this search engine where you can search candidates, PACs, donors, and see what's going on there, but we're writing articles where we're trying to strip away the jargon, strip away the Austin political lingo, and really make it understandable and easy to follow. So we have seen our site be used, be quoted by people on the right, and we have seen our site be quoted and used by people on the left. And that's great with us. We want to make it accessible to anybody who wants to use some easy to understand data.
Wow, great. Well, I think that's all the time we have. Give folks the website again. What's the website for everyone to go to?
TransparencyTexas.org.
Well, thank you, Tracy.
Love to have them visit.
Thanks for coming on Texas Scorecard Radio with us, and got to encourage everyone to go check out TransparencyTexas.org.
Thanks, Tony. Talk soon.
Now, finally, I promised at the beginning of the program to turn the tables on listeners, and we'll do that now by going to a commentary from Michael Quinn Sullivan on why all of us as taxpayers, as citizens, should want to get rid of the table.
Should conservatives seek a place at the insider's table? With today's commentary, I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan. Cronies and liberals end up in the same place, growing government at the expense of the citizenry. Recently, I was quoted in a rambling article in The New Yorker by Lawrence Wright, one of their liberal Austin writers. The liberal writer, writing for a liberal magazine's liberal audience, produced a predictable result. Wright laments the ascendancy of grassroots conservatives in Texas and praises liberal Republican House Speaker Joe Strauss for obstructing conservative reforms. The article is hardly worth a response, but Wright's twisted take on a quote from me presents a unique opportunity. Indeed, he used one of my favorite personal mission statements. I'm not there to get a seat at the table, I'm there to get rid of the table. I say that all the time. But then he concludes, in other words, Sullivan wants to destroy the government. Well, like, that'd be laughable if it weren't such a perfect reflection of the sad state of affairs in politics today that a liberal New Yorker writer can't imagine a government that isn't composed of a group of cronies gathered around a table haggling for what's theirs while folks who aren't in the room foot the bill. We hear this all the time. A bill will shoot through the legislative process, often with little debate, when the author claims to have met with all the stakeholders and all reached agreement. That means all the crony lobbyists have received a sufficient carve-out to satisfy their paymasters. In fact, there are 27 million stakeholders in Texas and 321 million in the United States, but they don't get a say in those negotiations. Taxpayers are little more than an ATM for the cronies, with our constitutional liberties an inconvenience to their schemes. Frankly, the idea of a group of people haggling away the future is a perfect metaphor for the dysfunctional system of government too many politicians have embraced or tolerate. But there is a better way. At Empower Texans, we work to restore taxpayers their rightful place as masters, with the elected officials fulfilling their role as public servants. Lawmakers should be responsive to their constituents by following through on campaign promises. We demand a government that is transparent, where lawmakers don't routinely lie to their voters, where criminal justice is fair to all, where policies benefit the general public rather than a select few, and where businesses compete to serve customers in a free market rather than hiring lobbyists to hamstring the competition. Indeed, the system Wright and his ilk defend, the system to which he can scarcely imagine an alternative, more closely resembles the syndicalist system of government championed by Benito Mussolini than the constitutional republic envisioned by our founding fathers. I've seen people get involved in policy fights, often on behalf of a noble cause, only to be co-opted by the promise of an invitation for a seat at the table. By accepting it, they may sometimes get a carve-out or a workaround that satisfies their particular grievance for a short time, yet by sitting down at the table, they sacrifice the ability to do anything that threatens the corrupting regime. Maintaining proximity to power, even corrupt power, becomes an end unto itself. Bad company, as Scripture notes, has a way of corrupting good character. I don't want a seat at that table, and frankly, you shouldn't either. We need to get rid of the table and put government actions in a glass box all can see. The alternative to the stakeholder cartel of cronies isn't the end of government. It's the embrace of the American brand of self-government. The alternative to government corruption isn't anarchy. It's an empowered and engaged citizenry. With today's commentary, I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan.
Michael's absolutely right. You know, the phrase I hear around the Texas Capitol that I hate the most is stakeholder. They always want to say, well, we should pass this bill because we've spoken with all of the stakeholders. And I always think, they didn't talk to me. Did they talk to you? No, I imagine they didn't. You know, there are 27 million stakeholders, all of us, who are supposed to be in control of our government, not just some people around a table in Austin. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Texas Scorecard Radio. As a reminder, we're not just a radio show. We also have a print publication coming out on a weekly and monthly basis. We have daily news and reports from around the Lone Star State that are coming out at texasscorecard.com. So for all the team here at Texas Scorecard Radio, thank you for listening, and we welcome you back next week.
Texas Scorecard Radio is brought to you each week as a public service from the Empower Texans Foundation and in partnership with the Lincoln Institute and this station. You can download podcasts from each program and learn more at empowertexans.com.